Amen. How many know you can talk in your heart to God on the inside? Did you know that? He hears your heart. Anybody ever, you just had a thought and it came to pass? It was kind of a prayer, but not really. It was just on the inside, right? Or what we say, what? You prayed silently. God hears us. He hears our heart. You know, now that we're talking about that hearing, I want to talk a little bit about the voice of the Good Shepherd tonight. I remember a time and I was seeking God. I just decided to take a couple of days. Matter of fact, it was around noon. And what day was it? I don't remember exactly what day it was, but I started around noon. I was working and I said, you know what? I'm just going to start praying, because I said to my wife, I said, something is changing. Well, how did you know something was changing, Brother Doug, Pastor Doug? How did you know that? I perceived it on the inside of me, but I didn't know what it was. I thought, something's changing. I got to hear from God. Something is changing. And so I decided I was going to fast. It was around noon. I said, I'm just starting right now. And I started to pray in the Spirit, and I prayed that day. And the next day, my wife was working extra hours, so she wasn't getting off at 3 p.m. We should get off at 11. And so I just kept praying that evening, and I was praying in the Spirit and just walking back and forth in our little apartment we had at Mrs. Fred Jones' place, and just praying and asking the Lord, and down on the inside, I'm saying, what is it, Lord? You ever have that? What is it, Lord? What is it? What are you trying to say to me? And I could put an X to this day right on the spot where God began to talk to me. And he said, son, at this particular time, he said, I want you to go to Rhema Bible Training Center. And I told the Lord right then, not out loud, but down on the inside, he heard me. I was like, now, Lord, we've been around this bush. I've already prayed about this several times. You know, we've been around this bush. And he said, and the Lord said, son, I want you to listen to me. I said, okay. And then he began to proceed, telling me, he said, you know, and said, well, where did you hear him? Down. I heard him in my spiritual, really from my spiritual mind. I didn't recognize it that way. I would just say down on the inside. Sometimes it feels like the center of our being or the deepest part of us, doesn't it? And he said to me, I want you to go to Rhema Bible Training Center. And tomorrow night, when you go to this meeting, I had planned this meeting. A friend of mine had invited me to, and it was at that time, it was in Stillwater, Oklahoma. And I had already made plans a couple weeks before, and this was the night, I think it was the day before, so it must have been a Tuesday. Praise the Lord. So that was a Tuesday. The Lord spoke to me 10 o'clock at night. I remember the exact time, 10 o'clock, right on the dot. And he said to me, tomorrow night, when you go to the meeting, this man will call you out. I want you to receive the word that he gives you. Okay. He's going to confirm what I'm telling you right now. Now, he did not say the word Rhema Bible Training Center, but first of all, so the next night, my wife really didn't think she wanted to go to the meeting. I said, okay, well, I'm going. I didn't tell her. I didn't tell anybody what the Lord said to me. I didn't tell a soul. And so we went to the meeting. That night, I'd already had other responsibilities in my church, but I'd already talked to the pastor and everything was covered and already took care of my responsibilities. And so we went, and our friends took us to the front row. Oh, wow. Ooh, you know, you go to a visiting church, you know, you usually don't sit on the front row, but they sit us right on the front row. And I'm like, oh, Lord. You know, so we're there in the front row, and this older gentleman named Larry Bloomquist at the time, he's gone on to heaven now. He must have been 80 years old or more. He and his wife were both there. She gave a few messages in tongues, and he prophesied. He interpreted it. Then he began to give a basic word that the Lord had showed him for the body of Christ and different things. And then it was just calling out people for healing. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't think I need any healing. you know, I'm good. I must have just, this has been my imagination or something. But, and he was just praying for people. Hey, sir, would you stand up? You got trouble with your back. It's been 2 years and you're going to have to get used to your healing and God's going to restore your business and all these things and blah, blah, blah. And he sits down. No fanfare, no big, you know, people aren't like flopping out, you know, falling out or anything. They're just getting healed. How many know it's good to just get healed? Amen. How many would rather just get healed than fall out in the power of God and get up sick? Amen. Just get healed. And so people are getting healed. And I think it was about the fifth person. And he says, well, somebody's been having mouth sores. I thought, and you know, anybody ever had the presence of God come on you? You know, it's you. You know, it's you, but you kind of look around the room anyway, you know, there's 150 people in here. It could be anybody, you know, but you know, it's you, you know, and I'd had these mouth sores and a pretty big one on my lip. So I stood up finally, not long. I didn't wait too very long, but I was just kind of, I'm the only person he said it to. He said, would you please come up here? Come over here. You know, like if you're there, come on up here. And he began to pray for me. And it was quite a real freedom and a deliverance that came, a lot of things that were coming together to a peak in my life. I'd been battling fear and some of these things came to a height. I began to laugh in the spirit and it was wonderful. And then I began to weep for my spirit. And I didn't understand. And he began to prophesy the word of the Lord to me about different things that the Lord desired that I be taught the word of the Lord. How many think that might be a Bible school? Amen. You know, and things like that and how God is called. There's a call of God on my life and just confirm things that the Lord had already been speaking to me. And so it was the voice of the good shepherd, though, that said what? Receive the word that he gives you. And it's the first time in my life that they ever gave me a copy of the word that they spoke to me. This guy was changing out cassette tapes with each person if they got a word from God, and he would record it and then take it out and give it up, put another tape in there. So he was busy, and they gave that to me. And it really ministered to me. And I thought, well, you know what? I should type that out. I've never gotten one before, but I thought it'd be important to type it out. How about you? You know, amen. You know, and I kept that word in my life, pray over it, asked the Lord about it, went to Bible school. The next fall, this was in November, I believe, I just moved to Miss Jones's house, thinking, oh, I'm all set. You know, I got a free place to live. Free, you know, I'm working at the same place. I just walk out the door, I'm at work. I mean, think that's pretty good. You know, that's pretty good. You know, I'm there. And so the only thing is in the evenings, you know, I'd come home and I'd close the shades because I got to realize I'm not at work, you know, shut my work out. And it's not because I didn't like it, but once in a while in the evening, I'll go out and walk around because it's like living at a park, you know, it's very nice. But the Lord's voice, the voice of the good shepherd, you know where that's found, don't you? John chapter 10. Let's look there for a minute. John 10. And Jesus is talking here and he says, hey, we don't enter the sheepfold another way. He said, I am the way, right? There is no other way. I'm the door. I'm the one. Let's just start at the first verse here of chapter 10, because it's not too far down, and the Lord speaks to us here, and he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Did you see that? They know his voice. In other words, they are in connection and relationship with God to such a degree his voice is familiar. How many are familiar with God's voice? Sometimes, see, the more we spend time with him, the more familiar we become with his voice. It says, yet they will by no means follow a stranger. How many are glad for that? You may not want to follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spake to them at that time. How many know he was, I believe he was prophesying more to our time. Because how many know? We're his sheep. They weren't the disciples here, not yet born again, the people there. Jesus had not yet gone to the cross. But he said, hey, if you're of my sheepfold, you're going to know my voice and it will be clear to you. It's not going to be something that is strange to you, but it will be his voice, the voice of the good shepherd. Oh, I'm so glad that we can know his voice. Hallelujah. All right. And we follow him because of that. Amen. And most people are a lot of Christians, I should say. I don't know if I'd say, well, I would say most Christians never spend enough time meditating in the scriptures to be able to distinguish the voice of Jesus from the voice of their own patterns or their own thoughts. Amen? Their own thought patterns. How many know you have thought patterns? And a lot of times people don't spend enough time. What? In the Word of God. Why would you spend time in the Word of God to be able to discern God's voice? Because he said, we talked about it, we mentioned it Sunday. What did he say in Hebrews 4:12? That it is the Word of God that can discern something for us. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and powerful. I'm reading from the New King James tonight, just to let you know. So if it looks a little different in your Bible, that's okay. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of what? Soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God will cause you to discern the difference of the voice of God and the voice of a stranger. Amen. It will help you to realize, and what? Our own thoughts. I mean, no, sometimes you have your own thoughts. It doesn't mean it's demonic. You know, you ever have a dream? Oh, that must have been God. And you found out, well, it was probably the chili you ate last night or the pizza you had the night before. You know, something like that. Amen. Hallelujah. You heard some noises, but it was more of a noise. Like, how many remember when Jesus was baptized? And the Father said, Jesus heard him clearly, and they, but how many know? To them, they said it just thundered. To many around, not all of them heard what he said. But Jesus heard him clearly, and the people heard him. You know, there were people that did hear it clearly. Obviously, they wrote it down. They said, we heard the voice say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. Listen to him. And praise God, we've got his voice. But sometimes it takes us looking into the Word of God and discerning. Because the Word of God is a what? Peter said it's a more sure word of prophecy. It's a more sure word So we need to discern the voice of God through what? The Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, guess what? You didn't hear God. If it's not in line, at least with the principles of the Bible. I'm not saying that very word has to be in the Scripture, but the principle of it, the gist of it is a principle in the Bible. It lines up. It doesn't go against what God said. Let me give you a for instance. I know there's some people that say, well, I just hear God. I talk to God. I don't need that Bible. You know, or I remember Brother Hagin giving the example of a lady. She got a revelation from God, and it's not scriptural. It's not in the Bible. You know, and somebody might say, Bible or no Bible, I'm sticking with what God told me. Well, God didn't tell you, did he? Let me give you another example that's even easier. Well, you know, you're praying and God says, I want you to go down here to Ross and Wellington, and right there on the corner, there'll be someone there standing there, and I want you to witness to him. And you go down to Wellington and Ross, and nobody's there. And you stand there for a while, and you're waiting, and nobody comes. You know, well, Lord, I thought you said someone was here for me to witness to. Why in the world? And you're scratching your head. Why would the Lord send me down to Ross and Wellington and there's nobody here? I'm supposed to witness to somebody, but they're not here. They didn't show up. Why, Lord? Why would you send me down there like that? Guess what? He didn't send you. And that's okay. You're trying to listen. You're learning. You're growing. We don't just throw it out, but we have to come to reality and say, okay, Lord, apparently I did not hear you. Amen. That's a pretty easy to discern, isn't it? Amen. Or he sent you to the beauty parlor, to the barber shop, and you went down there because God sent you, and you say, I got to talk to somebody down here, and you get down there and they're closed. Why would God send me to some place that's closed? How am I supposed to do what he said? Well, glory to God. We took our trip. In other words, Pastor Dave would say you took your trip to the barber shop, right? So, but for example, like when we're doing our best to serve Jesus, you know, and all kinds of problems hit our life. It seems like everything's going wrong, yet you are doing all that you know to do, and still it looks like you're sinking. Your boat's sinking. Anybody ever been there? You do everything you can, but it looks like your boat is sinking. And most people expect Jesus to show up and say all kinds of comforting things to them, don't they? Anybody think that? Well, why wouldn't he? He's going to show up. He's going to comfort me because my boat's sinking. And he's going to tell him what? How much sympathy he has for you. This is what we think. And that he will lay his hand upon us. Oh, boy, I've been sweating, Lord, and I'm all nervous and things don't look too good. And we think he's going to just come up and say, oh, there now. I know it's been rough. I understand. I know that you've been fighting, that you're feeling discouraged. But no, that's not what he would say at all. That is not what Jesus would say. He would say the same thing to you that he said to the 12 when their boat was sinking due to the storm. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4 for a minute. Here's what Jesus would say. You know, in our mind and in our life, we want him to come and say, oh, you poor thing, I'm so sorry you're struggling so much. But when the disciples were going across the sea here in Mark 4, He didn't say, oh, you're doing a good job, keep bailing water, did he? No, he didn't. Verse 40 says this, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He didn't say, oh, well, good job for trying. He did not say that. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't keep trying. I'm not saying that we shouldn't keep going. But Jesus doesn't come to our boat that's sinking and say, oh, well, good job. Way to use your faith. No, he said, no, why is it? Why are you fearing and why are you not believing what I had said? He had already said to the disciples, let's go to the other side. And he went and took a nap. He was pretty tired. He must have got up early. And most of the time Jesus did. He rose very early before the sun came up, you know, while a great while, it says before light, before day. He would get up many times. That was his pattern. That was his lifestyle. I'm not saying you have to get up early to pray. Maybe you stay up till 2 o'clock at night. Well, you get up earlier than anybody else most of the time. You know, they didn't get up till 2:30, gee, or 3, or maybe 4. You are already up. Amen. So it's not about what time it is, but it's about seeking God on a regular basis. Amen. And having a consistent fellowship with the Father. If you do, then that voice becomes, what, very familiar to you, doesn't it? It's not hard to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. You can hear his voice. Hallelujah. So Jesus does not believe in your boat sinking. Jesus believes in going all the way over to the other side. In other words, whatever you're struggling and whatever you're doing, you're going through. You may be going through. You may have some suffering. You may have some struggles. But that doesn't mean he expects you to stay there and sink. Amen? Hallelujah. He does not think defeat thoughts. He does not sympathize with them. He is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. But guess what? He feels all your feelings. He knows what you're going through. But he is not moved by them. All of your hard feelings, he's not moved by. It is not faith to be moved by how we feel. It is not faith to be moved by fear. It is faith to say, I know what God has said and I'm going to the other side. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to stand on the word of God and I'm going to press through. Yes, it may be a process. It is a process of you and I changing, but we have to continue in that process of what? Standing upon what he has said. Whatever he tells you to do, that's what you do. You say, well, brother, I don't know. I mean, should I really stay in prayer? Well, the Bible says you'll be built up on your most holy faith. He said that revelation knowledge will begin to come to you. In other words, ultimately, if you won't quit, if you'll keep praying, if you'll stay in that boat, no matter what's going on around you, no matter what kind of thoughts are trying to stop you, you will ultimately prevail and you will pass through to the other side. But no, that's not what we want, see? We want God to come. Oh, comfort me, Lord. Comfort me in my fear. Comfort me in my unbelief. Comfort me, Lord. No, he's saying, no, don't, no. I'm not comforting you. I would like you to pick up where I am and come up a little bit higher to where I am and not spend all the time working from the flesh, but begin to work from the Spirit and begin to speak. Amen. Because Jesus ultimately did what? He spoke to the storm, didn't he? Hallelujah. Verse 39, he spoke to the storm and then he rebuked the disciples. Verse 39, back up one verse. Then he arose, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Oh my goodness. If we'll begin to what? Speak to the storm. But we want to what? Think about our problem. See, it doesn't happen by thinking. Your thoughts cannot overcome the thoughts and lies of the enemy, but your words can still him. How many think, I worship you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you are working in my behalf. I worship you. I love you, Jesus. A little worship goes a long way to bring a what? Stillness, a peace, and a calm to our situation. And speaking words of faith with the Word of God and praying what? In the Holy Ghost, we begin to see things calm down. And we begin to realize, oh yes, my faith is what? Being strengthened. How? Building ourselves up on a most holy faith, which is on the inside of us already. We got the Word of God. We're going through our situation. Just because you get attacked, well, what does that mean? Does that mean you're in sin? No, not necessarily. You could be, but most likely not. It may be what you're doing right. Amen. You may be doing some things correct. You may be seeking after God. And he comes, the enemy. How many know the devil doesn't try to stop people that are doing nothing? Amen. If you're not succeeding, why would he come to attack your life? And even if you're, you know, even if not, he doesn't really care. He comes to attack people anyway, doesn't he? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's what he does. It's what he's good at. And he's pretty good at trying to bring us to a place of confusion and defeat. But how many know when we get a hold of what God has said, his voice becomes clear. We discerned it. And many times we've already got his word right here. Amen. It's a matter of us deciding. Hallelujah. So Jesus overcame everything that the devil threw at him, didn't he? All the feelings, hallelujah, come on. And all the time, every time, Jesus overcame everything that the devil threw at him all the time. What did he do? He spoke what God said. What has God said? My sheep hear my voice. The number one voice we hear is right here in the Word of God. This is God speaking to you. I know we talked about that Sunday, but it doesn't hurt to think about it. Maybe we ought to, I don't know, maybe all month we'll be on this. I don't know, maybe more. We need, how many believe we need revival of the Bible? Amen. We do in the church, in our church, right here. We need to keep moving forward and letting the Word of God become our thoughts, to become what we say. Hallelujah. How many of you know, if I'm not doing the general will of God, why does God need to speak to me specifically? Amen. We know to pray. All of us here, don't we? If you don't know to pray, I'm telling you right now, get a prayer life. Amen. Start praying in the Holy Ghost. Speak the Word of God. Begin to worship God. Amen. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Read the Word of God. Worship God. What else? Fasting and listening. Amen. Learn the voice of God. Learn the voice of the Good Shepherd. Now, there's a lot of other things we can say, and we will. Revelation 3:21. Revelation 3:21. So, Jesus, we've got to remember something, okay? No, I'm just going to say it because it's true. Nobody comes to your pity party. Nobody. Even Jesus doesn't come to your pity party. He didn't get up, you know, and say, oh, Jesus, help us. And he did help them. And he'll help you too. Help, Lord, and he will. But he might say, why is it that you have no faith? Why are you fearing? Don't you know I'm with you? Don't you believe what I said? I told you, go to the other side. Why didn't you take that word out and say, I'm going to the other side? But no, they went and tried to work. How many tried to solve your problem in the natural? I've tried to solve some of my problems that way. It didn't work so good. Sometimes we do it so long, you know, and then we keep going and we keep trying. But then God, how many know? But God, he brings the revelation of the truth of what he has said. All right, we're in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 21. Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Amen. How many know we can overcome? It doesn't matter what the enemy's throwing at us. It doesn't matter what thoughts are coming. We can choose to overcome. It may take you making a decision, and maybe you can't seem to figure out what's going on, but if you'll take a day, I'm going to spend this day praying in tongues and worshiping God. I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to keep praying until I get through. You know, and maybe you didn't get through that day. You only had one day this week. Because you're busy working or whatever you're doing. And, but you take the next day. How many knows the next day that you have? Oh, I got 4 hours tomorrow. I'm going to take that time because I'm determined I'm going to overcome. We have to make a decision in our heart of hearts, down on the inside of us. We can't let the devil talk us out of seeking God. That's what he's after. He's after stealing the word of God out of your heart. And if we don't stay in there, sometime you have to make a decision. Sometimes it's just saying, hey, I choose to believe God. I don't care how I feel. Maybe you made a mistake. Then we got to run to 1 John 1:9 and believe what God has said to us. I've made you righteous. I've forgiven you and I've cleansed you. And I don't care how I feel right now, devil. You're a liar. I cast those thoughts off and I'm going forward and I refuse to think on it anymore. Amen. You know, you can decide not to think about something. So, well, how am I going to do that? I worship you, Lord. I'll put my mind somewhere else. He said, I'll give you perfect peace, whose mind is what stayed on me. I want to put my mind on what the Lord has said. That he forgave me and cleansed me and made me brand new. As far as the east is from the west, it's been removed from me and I refuse to accept it anymore. Now granted, I understand. Sometimes we make mistakes. How many know? And there's consequences in this life. You know, if a young girl gets pregnant, 17 years old, and she's not married, there's a consequence. She's going to have a baby and she's going to have to deal with that. But she has to forgive herself. Amen. Move forward. Keep going with life. It doesn't mean life is over. It means that we have to go to the blood. Hallelujah. And we have to take God at his word. Glory to God. Know the voice of the good shepherd. It's not always, you know, good job. You know, God wasn't happy that if we make mistakes or we sin. Amen. He's not happy with that, but he doesn't throw us out. He doesn't say, well, you know, you're no good, dirty, rotten sinner. He says, no, confess your sin. As long as we agree with God, he'll walk with us. If you're struggling and you keep moving forward, he'll walk with you through hell and back again. He doesn't care. But when you begin to say God's okay with it, then you have a problem. It's when we refuse, you know, when we say, oh, well, God's okay with this. I'll just keep on doing it and he doesn't care. Then he doesn't have anything to work with because you have made your choice. And God will not violate your will. I don't care how big and wonderful you think you are. He will not. He will let you do what you want. And he will do his best to draw you back. But if you refuse, he has no choice. But when you say, no, God hates this. I understand that, Lord. I know it's a sin. I'm struggling. I ask you to help me. He will. He'll keep walking with you. Even if you fall over and over, you repent over and over. He'll get it through and eventually you will what? Overcome. Just like he said right here. Behold. What does he say? I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking at the door of the heart. Saying, if you'll let me come in, I will come in. I'll dine with you or sup with you and you with me. And to him who overcomes, I grant to sit with me on my throne. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We can overcome when we realize his voice is speaking to me. Many times God uses the word of God to speak to you. It helps him a lot. It helps the Holy Spirit out a lot if you'll read you know, the Bible and get it in our heart. Amen. Because we recognize His voice. It is God speaking to us. All right. Hallelujah. Verse 19. Let's back up just a little bit. I read 20, but 19 says this. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and what? Repent. What does that mean to repent? It means to change, doesn't it? Glory to God. The word rebuke means you are wrong. I don't even know that. When God rebukes you, you realize, hey, I'm wrong. You know, God rebuked me one time. I said something to someone and it wasn't any of my business. I didn't mean it badly, but He said to me, is that your responsibility? I mean, He let me know. Yet I felt His love greatly, but I knew I was wrong. He said, the soonest chance that you have, He said, you make it right and don't you downplay it. I said, yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. I hear you. How many know that's in the Bible? That we should make things right if we do make a mistake. We make it right with that person as soon as possible. And don't you let them downplay it. That's what He tells me. I said, okay. I said, no, this is very serious. It's fully my fault. I heard the Lord and I am asking you to forgive me. And of course they did, thank God. And, you know, we moved forward. But I'd take that very seriously. I didn't do that again. You know, how many know God can talk to you enough where you don't do it again? You felt that and you said, oh, I know that's wrong. Yes, sir. I am, you know, He usually, many times He rebukes us, what, with His word, doesn't He? The word of God. He corrects us. In other words, you're wrong. This is right. Amen. What God says is correct. All right. And chasten means that you do it. He says, hey, do it this way. He's going to show you. Do it this way. In other words, you're not just running off on our own. The Greek word chasten is P-A-I-D-E-U-O. Paideo. Duo, I think. Paideo. Duo. And it means to train up a child or to discipline. Most modern Christians seem to have no concept of Jesus ever talking to them like that. They think that Jesus will talk to them as though He agrees with them. But we've got to get it, you know, with us and realize Jesus only agrees with you when you are agreeing with Him. When you don't agree with Him, He's not agreeing with you. You may say, well, this is okay. You know, some people, they think it's okay. I'll just live with somebody. He doesn't agree with you. You might think He agrees with you. You might hope He agrees with you, but He does not agree with you. And if we'll look down on the inside of us, we'll realize our spirit's not agreeing with that either. Our inside man, our what? One way He speaks to us, the inner witness, right? It witnesses in our heart. It seems wrong. Yet, how many have overridden it? Amen. It might not seem real strong, but down in it, oh, something's not quite right, but, you know, it's all right. God will be all right with it. It's okay. Come on, honey, let's shack up, you know. We're not really sleeping together. Yeah, right. That's why we live in the same house. Yeah. Hallelujah, you know. We're just having Christian sex. Whatever that means. You know. You know, yeah, there is. They had that term for quite a while there. We're having Christian sex. In other words, we do everything except, you know, almost everything. Well, that's not good, you know. Amen. Men, we should know better, you know. Don't go past their neck. Even then, be careful. Amen. That's right. Wait till you get married. Then you can do it all. Hallelujah. You can kiss their neck and whatever, you know, whatever she agrees with you on. Now listen, I'm going to talk about it a little bit because, you know, when you get married, you don't just get to do whatever you want and make them do things that they're uncomfortable with. You talk about it. If it's uncomfortable to your partner, then you don't do it. I mean, all things are, you know, permissible in a marriage bed, but you know, there's some things, you know, and I'll just say it straight out. Your rear end is not a sex organ. Amen. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You know, some people think it is and they want to, you know, whatever. Well, I'm not into that. And if your wife ain't into it, you ain't into it either. That's sick. That's gross. It's unnatural and it's not godly. You know, it ain't right. You know, hey, I'm just saying there's things that people think. Now, hey, you know what? If your wife's all good with it, maybe it turns her on. I don't know, you know. If that's you, hey, have at it. If you're married, you know. But that ain't, you know, that's pretty simple, isn't it? And it takes care of a lot of things. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, but talk about it. Be communicative. Don't just sit like a, you know, and if your husband won't talk, then find out how to get him to talk. Amen. There's places and people that know things that you can do and help them come out of their shell and talk and share and communicate. You know, it's communication that brings more intimacy into your marriage. Amen. Talk about things, you know, you say, well, we don't talk about much of it, you know. Most people don't. They don't go very deep. They just talk a little bit and talk about, you know, how they went to work and talk about the kids and talk about this and that and the other. And most dating relationships never go, you know, which is fine. I mean, when you're dating, you don't want to go super deep and get involved. Amen. But, you know, when you get married, then you might have to talk about things more than once. And then think about what your spouse said. And then maybe you come back and talk about it. Hey, I was thinking about what you said. Here's what I feel, you know. Here's my thoughts on it. You know, and you talk about it. And maybe you talk about it again another day. And keep moving forward and building the intimacy in your life, in your marriage. Hallelujah. You know. That's the number one complaint and the number one problem in marriage. Even though they say it's money, it's really communication. Because if he had told you he was buying that boat and paying, you know, going into debt for it, it would have changed some things. Amen. He would at least consider you, you know, or her, whatever, you know. And she bought that dress for $500, you know. You're like, well, honey, it's not that I don't want you to have a dress, but, you know, we might want to communicate, you know. Whatever your amount is, you know, set that amount, you know, anything over, you know, if they got some spending money, hey, you got $50 every week I give you. You can just do whatever you want with it, you know, but you get over $100 or making some major purchase. I think you might want to consider your other partner. Amen. Hallelujah. And not having all kinds of secrets between one another. Praise the Lord. Anyway. I don't know how we got off on that, but Jesus does not agree with you when you're not agreeing with him. That's how we got off on it right there. When you don't agree with what he says. Amen. Now I can help you. You know, men, you know, you get a little more specific, you know, with your wife. Right? We'll talk about that maybe on Tuesday, you know. Hey, honey, I love you because. Think of some things. What did she do that you love, really love? Be sincere. You know, if she's a horrible, horrible housekeeper, don't say, well, honey, I love you because you keep a clean house. Well, you don't. So don't be honest. You know, be truthful. Not, you know, you don't want to talk about, you know, that might be a different night, you know, a different subject. Amen. You know, so how can we improve? But Jesus does not agree with unbelief. He does not agree with winning, with whining. I'm sorry, not winning. Take that off, Jesus. With whining, hallelujah. He doesn't agree with whining, does he? And complaining. How many remember under the old covenant when they were out in the desert, in the wilderness, and they complained against what? Against Moses, right? The leader. God was not happy. He was not pleased. And what'd they say? Well, who put you in charge, Moses? God, you know. No, God put me in charge, Moses said, didn't he? And I'm not saying he had a speech impediment necessarily. I believe some, you know, that God was just helping him out. He had some fears, and somehow God worked it out anyway with using his brother. But he doesn't agree with our pity party, and Jesus never agrees with the statement, "I can't." Well, Lord, I can't. I can't go to that country. I don't have enough money. I can't do that. He doesn't agree. He says, get your faith working. He agrees with the statements that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what he agrees with. And he wants us to, if we don't have the means or we don't have a way to do something God tells us to, then he expects us to trust him and begin to what? Speak the truth of the word of God. Father, I want to do that. I believe you talk to me. I believe you want me to come to Canada. Then I had to make some decisions. I had to say, okay, Lord, if that's going to happen, I have to be, I can't have all debts hanging over my head. I've got to sell my house. Why? Because it's not wise to try to keep a house rented when you live in another country. I can't walk, I can't drive down the street or across town and take care of a problem. So, well, you could have paid somebody else. I could. That's not what God wanted. That's not what God told me. He told me to come to Canada. Hallelujah. And you have to make a decision and decide. He doesn't agree with us when I would say, you know, hey, I'm too sick to do that. He wants us to get our faith working and receive a healing so that we can follow him. We can do what he says. Amen. Hallelujah. He doesn't agree with that. He doesn't say, hey, oh yes, I know for you, you're too sick to come to church. You might just get a miracle. Now you could be too sick to get out of bed, you know. I was too sick. I was in the hospital. Not because I wanted to be, but they put me there because my heart was racing like it was supposed to help get the infection out of me. Praise the Lord. They felt it was too high to be safe. It was kind of dangerous, and they wanted to keep an eye on me. Well, praise the Lord. We finally got the miracle. Glory to God. We got the healing. Yeah. You said, well, the doctors helped you. So what? They were in my favor. They were trying to help me. Amen. You said they were helping God? No, not really. They were helping me in the natural and did everything they could. God was doing all he could, and he brought me out, and I'm healed. You said, well, brother, that's not very much faith. I keep my faith going no matter what I have to do to bring about an answer, because I'm going through. I'm going to the other side. I'm going to get my victory no matter what it is. If God tells me to go to the doctor, guess what? Brother Hagin said for 60 years, 70 years of his ministry, if God ever told me to go to the doctor, I would. And he's told other people to go to the doctor, and he bought medicine for them. And he sent his wife to the doctor one time because God told him to, and if he hadn't sent her, she would have died in the night. You know why? Because there's things in her blood count that was so low that he didn't know about, but the doctor found, and he says, we've got to take care of you right now and give you some blood and make you live. How many of you think it's smarter to get to the doctor when God says and live and not die? I know some people today, they're dead right now, probably because they didn't go to the doctor soon enough. And they may have, could have been saved and had a wonderful ministry in life. I'd rather go to the doctor and believe God another day than die and miss out on what God wanted me to do and fulfill my call and have rewards in heaven forever and other lives changed. I'm not, you know, I'm not saying they missed God or did or didn't. You know, that's between them and God. But it's a possibility. I know another guy that he even stayed at my house, and it took him a long time. He was having all kinds of symptoms of a heart attack. Trying to believe God, trying to believe God, trying to believe God, and it got worse. I mean, it subsided somewhat, but then it hit him again. By the time he got to the hospital, it already destroyed about 50% of his heart. Whereas if he had gone immediately, I mean, this was going on for like 3 days. And if he'd gone immediately, they said, we probably could have helped you more. Now, God's merciful. How many know God's merciful? He can still give you a new heart. He'll still work with you. He'll help you. But how many know sometimes it takes some time? Get your faith built. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes we've got to listen to the Word of God. He knew, in his heart, he was thinking he should go to the doctor, but he didn't heed the warning. Hallelujah. And because of that, I believe it shortened his life. You know, he's, you know, about the same age I am, and he passed away not long ago. It's unfortunate, but that those things can take place and happen. And I'm not saying he did. He got some healing and he had some really good things happen, but I believe that shortened his life somewhat. But anyway, praise the Lord. Here's what Jesus sounds like. When someone is laying there sick, he said to the man of the palsy, take up your bed and walk. How many believe? You hear God say, take up your bed and walk. That's what you ought to do. Amen. And begin to move forward, or at least move in that direction of faith. So many times we have God's command or his voice. We know the voice of the Good Shepherd. But sometimes we ignore it because we don't think it sounds that way. Oh, that must be the devil. I remember the first time I heard God's voice, the very first time that I remember where it was clear of something. Well, I wouldn't say it's the first time I heard God's voice, but it was the first time it was the first time that I knew I heard God's voice. I had his voice on the leadership inside of me and those kind of things. And I knew he'd called me and some of those things of just kind of knowings on the inside, what it seemed like. But this time I heard God's voice and I thought it was the devil. And what he said to me, he said, if you keep following that car so close, you're going to run right into the back end of it. Oh, devil, you're a liar. You leave me alone. I'm rebuking the devil. I'm serious. That's terrible, isn't it? And I thought it was the devil telling me I'm going to have an accident. Guess what happened? I got up to this light and I kept following this car. And sure enough, I ran right into the back end of him. And I said, and suddenly I realized that was the voice of the Lord. He was trying to help me not have an accident. How many believe that? I know it. I don't think it. I'm not wondering. I said, oh, sorry, Lord. Guess what Pastor Doug had to do? Go to 1 John 1:9. I wasn't Pastor Doug at the time, but I had to go to 1 John 1:9. Amen. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. He knew I didn't realize. But at the same time, I got so, you know, I didn't recognize his warning to my life. And, you know, it happened. So, to the lepers, he said in Luke 17:14, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. Amen. Matthew 9:29, to the blind, he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. As if that's not enough, if you'd been sick to the point that you died, you heard the voice of Jesus, he would say the same thing to you that he said to his friend Lazarus in John 11:43. Who knows what he said to Lazarus? He said, Lazarus, come forth. That's what the voice of Jesus sounds like. Move forward. Be well. Be whole. Be strong. Blind see. Lord, I don't see where you want me to go. Blind see. I have a word for you, son. It's right here. Many times. It's right here. He will speak in line and in accordance with the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. Ah, man, this is taking me longer than I thought, Lord. But anyway, that's what his voice sounds like a lot of times. The comforting voice that most people think is Jesus telling them how much he sympathizes with their present problems is not the voice of Jesus at all. It's the voice of our adversary, the devil. The devil always agrees with your emotions, your feelings, your pains, your discouragement, and Jesus never does. Jesus agrees with the Word of God. When you hear the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he says things like Mark 9:23. Let's read that one a minute. Mark 9, verse 23. What does he say in Mark 9:23? Hallelujah. He says, Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. How many know sometimes it's a process? But if you can believe, if you can start in the direction of faith, you will ultimately what? You're going to come through to the other side. Matthew 17:20 says, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Amen. How many believe that? This is the voice of Jesus. You said the voice of the Good Shepherd. Well, brother, I thought you were going to tell me how to hear his voice. I am. I'm getting you to understand what he often sounds like. Amen. Verse 20, he said here to the disciples, because of your unbelief, they couldn't cast this spirit out. Remember? For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as what a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be removed from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. If we'll, what, believe him. What did he say in Luke 10:19? Luke chapter 10. Well, let's look at Mark 11 for a minute. Let's go to Mark 11:24. It's on the way. Mark 11, verse 24. Who knows that verse? Anybody? Amen. You do. You know it. You've heard it before. These are not anything new, but this is Jesus' voice. It's the voice of the Good Shepherd. It's what he may say to you. He gave me a warning. I didn't recognize it. He said, well, you were in fellowship. Yeah, I love the Lord. I knew God. But I wasn't accustomed to hearing his voice very often. And I heard his voice and I thought, oh, that must be the devil. He's telling me. He was warning me. Thank you. Isn't that the love of God? Wouldn't you warn somebody? Amen. If they're in the way, they're going to step out in front of them. Oh, brother, wait a minute. You pull them back. You grab them by the back of the shirt. Maybe you pulled them back out of the way. Oh, I'm glad you pulled me back. I didn't see that car coming. And you know, they might say, oh, you saved my life. You know, yes, of course I did. You owe me everything. I'm just kidding. Not really. But anyway, he said here in 17:20. Is that what we're on? Yeah, Luke. No, 19. Yeah, Mark. I'm sorry. Mark 11:24. That's where. Mark 11:24. Sorry. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye what shall have them. He says, believe that you receive. Let your faith get moving in a direction. Let your faith begin to rise up. Amen. And then Luke 10:19. That'll be our last scripture right here. Luke 10:19. What did he say in Luke 10:19? This is good. Hallelujah. In other words, Jesus is saying, you can overcome. He that what? Overcomes will come and sit at my throne. You're going to sit with me on my throne. How many know you are what? Seated in heavenly places with him now, right? Amen. We're seated him. How many know that is a positional truth? It's not actual yet, but that day's coming. Why? Because we're in him and he's in us. But here he says in 19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I had one of the teachers when I was going to Raymond, he would use this scripture every single time. Every class he used that scripture, and he had him a fly swatter. And he said, nothing shall by any means harm you. That's the kind of minister I want you to be. Wherever God sends you, you have power over all the power of the enemy and nothing. And he had slapped that fly swatter down on the podium. And he said, nothing shall by any means harm you. Amen. Wherever God wants to send you, whatever he has for you to do, you can do it. We can do all things. That's the voice of the Lord. That's the voice of God. That's the voice of our good shepherd. Amen. How many are going to listen more for his voice? And you realize he's not coming to your pity party. He's not saying, if you're not obeying what the word of God says, he's not saying, well done, good and faithful servant. He's not saying, it'll be all right, honey. No, he's saying, leave. Don't get involved in that. Don't do that. Stay away from those things. How many know God gave us things in the Word of God? Not because he's trying to harm us, but to help us. Because he knows best for us. He's trying to keep us from harm and danger. You know, if people just, in our day and age, you know, a lot of people, they just put out on the internet or somewhere, hey, let's hook up. In other words, we want to get together. How many know if you have sex with all kinds of people, the opportunity for you to get a disease is out there. Not only that, you're not just having sex with somebody if it's somebody you don't know. Guess what? You're having sex with all the people they had sex with. And that's sickening. It's dangerous. That's why they get diseases. That's why God said what? One woman, one man in marriage, holy to the Lord. Two saved people, if you're born again, get married. If you're not saved, you don't marry them. If they don't get saved, don't want to get saved, you don't marry them. You don't date them. You shouldn't really even date that. He said, don't be unequally yoked with the unbeliever. Period. That's what God said. That's what the Bible said. God is speaking to us, each one of us. That's why we don't, you know, you don't go outside. He had that under the old covenant. Do you understand that? Under the old covenant, they weren't supposed to marry outside of their faith. Amen. How many know they got in all kinds of trouble? That was Solomon's problem. He married all kinds of foreign wives and concubines, and they got him in a lot of hot water, and he almost didn't make it. People are not even sure he did make it for sure. He was very, very, very promiscuous, and it wasn't godly. So we've got to continue with what God has said. He's given us what? All authority, all power to tread on all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. Yeah, some doesn't mean things won't be painful in the natural, but that means the devil doesn't get his way and he doesn't harm us. Amen. God is trying to keep us from harm and danger. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God forever. It's true. God's word is true. God's voice. How many believe you can hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? Amen. His voice is so clear. Many times it's right here. We can read it right in front of us, black and white. And if we're not following his general will right here in the Word of God, what more should we be asking for? Amen. But when we're walking according to his plan, his purpose, we're getting our motives correct, our heart right, our character right, we're walking with him, we're seeking him, then what? It'll become more and more real on the inside of us. And it'll take us through to victory. Glory to God. How many love the Lord? Amen. Amen. It'll take us through to victory. Glory to God. And we will go to the other side, no matter what comes against us. We're going through. It doesn't mean it's not going to be a process. There may be a process involved. Sometimes, how many know? The Bible says what? We lay hands on the sick and they'll get an instant miracle. No, it says they will recover. That denotes a process. And many times in our life, there is a process that we go through in walking with God. We learn here and there, and as we continue to pursue him, he takes us a little further and brings another layer of certain things in our life off. I know that God delivered me from fear, but do you know what? Sometimes I face other fears, and he continues to go a little deeper. and he releases those off my life. And I gain a greater what? Trust in him. A greater understanding of who God is and his love for me. And we keep moving forward and we're pressing. How many of you want to go further and further until we're what? More like Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know anybody here so far. I haven't found any perfect people. Have you? Anybody here been perfect? All right. If you raised your hand for that, we want to pray for you. We got a line right over here for people that are lying over here. So we don't have anybody that's perfect yet. But we're walking in that direction. And how many know Jesus is our example? Amen. Hallelujah. Many times we have good people that are examples, but Jesus is our ultimate example. Amen. All right. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that you're the good shepherd and that we can what? Hear your voice. Lord, it doesn't always sound like we want it to sound. Our natural man wants to hear, you know, oh, you're doing good. You're pressing through. But Lord, you want to see our faith. And it is faith that you expect and that you desire. Father, help us to listen to your voice, to hear the voice of the good shepherd, Lord, and to follow you. And the voice of a stranger, we say we will not follow in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen.